From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Well, here I am, sticking my feet out the window of the most haunted room in the most haunted hotel in Alaska. That's room 215 of the historic Anchorage Hotel. Next door, inside the Anchorage Hilton, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council is meeting in person for only the second time after 2 years of online proceedings prompted by the COVID pandemic. This October meeting is overshadowed by the recent crash of crab stocks in the Bering Sea. I finish my room coffee and head over to the hallways of the Hilton, where fishermen and economists mix with lobbyists and biologists, and the conversations are always intensely serious. At the Hilton, I spot two people representing communities that are highly dependent on crab, St. Paul in the Pribilof Islands, and Unalaska. They have been arguing for the council to choose a stock assessment model that would allow for at least a short season, especially for snow crab, which had been the bread and butter of the fleet. Tell me your name, who you're here representing, and what brings you to the North Pacific Council today.
Okay. I'm Heather McCarty. I work with the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, CBSFA, which is the CDQ entity on St. Paul Island in the Pribilofs. Group that I work for, the CDQ entity, is very dependent on crab. We have a lot of crab assets, both given through the CDQ program and then assets that we've bought over the last 10 years. And those assets are what kind of drives our revenue, along with pollock and groundfish and other species, certainly. But we are, out of the six CDQ groups, we're the one that's most dependent on crab.
So is there a particular issue that you're tracking, and what are your thoughts about how it's going now?
The state hasn't made their announcement. I mean, we do know the ABC and the OFL for the crab species at issue, but we don't know what the state is going to do with those numbers, whether they're going to open small crab fisheries or not. So we're here advocating for small crab fisheries, particularly for snow crab, which we depend on both at CBSFA and City of St. Paul. And so the answer to your question of how it's going is we don't know yet. And we won't know until probably, well, the commissioner said Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of next week.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Well, could you please tell me who you are, who you represent, and what brings you to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting?
Hi, my name is Frank Kelty. I was a longtime resident of Unalaska, 50 years, and former mayor and city council member. Worked in the seafood industry for 35 years there, and I'm here in Anchorage today because I'm a consultant for the city of Unalaska on fisheries issues.
Is there an issue or action before the council now that you're tracking in particular?
One was the crab issue, which had to do with the crisis we're in with our three crab stocks, snow crab, tanner crab, and red king crab, which could be facing another possible closure. So we're tracking that. The three crab issues, basically asking the council for support in supporting some very small openings for all three species.
It's still up to the state to actually open a fishery, but the council did have to take the action of setting an ABC, I guess, for the state to be able to then set a tag.
That's right. And the state has their own biologists that rework the numbers they get from NOAA and come up with their calculations of what they believe the TAC should be. And we hope to find out, hopefully by Monday. But we're keeping our fingers crossed that there's at least some small amount of openings for the snow crab and red king crab.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Monday came and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced they would not open the Bering Sea red crab or snow crab fisheries for the coming year. I spoke to longtime crab crewman Chuck Jackson afterward. And I think a lot of people thought that since the council set an OFL and an ABC, that Fish and Game would probably set a tack and that there would be some kind of season. But then on Monday, Fish and Game said no dice, no tack. Looking forward.
Well, that's really great that they have a job and that they have an income, and I don't. And I'm the one that pay them, you know. Man, I just didn't start this yesterday. I've been doing this for 33 years. So, like, where am I in all this? You know what? I followed every rule and every law. I have never done anything illegal. I have never even so much as ever worked on a boat that had a ticket for sublegals, subspecies, hybrids, any of that stuff. I have always, and every boat I've ever worked on, done what they told us we could do. No more, no less. And here, so even with this rationalization, you know, they told us that we would never be in this situation. They said they would be able to federally manage this in a way. They could do the science and they had the models and everything they could work with, that we would always be able to have a season. No matter how small or how large, there would always be something that we could work on. And this is now no longer true. And then so look at my boat owner who buys Opelio quota every time it becomes available. And it's expensive. I mean, like, he probably pays like $500,000 to catch another like 10,000 pounds of opies. Okay. Right. So now he's got like, I don't even know. He doesn't tell me, it's none of my business, but I'm just going to throw a fictitious number. He probably pays $500,000 a year on payments, buying rights, quota, right, for himself and the boat and for us to make money off of, that we will probably not fish in the foreseeable future. You know, these guys are taking in the shorts too. I mean, they've invested in this fishery. They have boats. They have payments. They have insurance. They have moorage. I mean, they have men like me that, you know, like, need to get paid. I mean, what are they going to do?
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
I ran into Steve Miner, who is both an executive for Peter Pan Seafoods and a crab quota owner. Are there issues that the council is looking at right now that are of particular interest to you?
The current crisis that I'm most concerned about is the collapse of the Bering Sea crab stocks. I am a crab quota holder myself. It has direct impact on me, but it will, over the course of this issue, raise a lot of questions about how to balance science with community needs and the survivability of an entire industry.
Right, and we've heard some very interesting testimony about how to approach the lack of science and the need or the desire to act quickly. How do you come down on that?
Boy, that's probably the question of the hour and the one that is the most difficult to answer. There does have to be action sooner rather than later. One of the handicaps of the council process in a situation like this is that forming alternatives, analyzing them, and applying a remedies is usually a 2 or 3 year process. So the industry's already looking at a lot of voluntary measures, things that can be done in the short term. But of course, everybody thinks that what they're doing is good, but that people in other fisheries could do better. So it raises a certain amount of friction between all the groups.
And in particular, we have trawlers who are very active in the Bering Sea as well. And there are a lot of data gaps about bottom contact and unobserved mortality and that kind of thing. There again, I mean, how do we catch up with the data?
Well, you know, as somebody who represents Peter Pan, we love all fishermen. We love all gear types. And and I'm not going to point at anybody in particular. There are questions about trawl and bottom contact. I think there's been some recent surprises when it comes to that issue. There's questions about the pot fleet and some of their bycatch issues. I think there's enough, not guilt, but enough concern to spread across all the fleets at this point, and we need to get real data to answer the questions and understand where we can apply remedies to this problem.
What would you like to see the council do or not do going forward?
You know, short term it's hard to say. Midterm and long term, as somebody who's been in the crab industry for well in excess of 20 years now, the fact that the crab is always, for instance, the annual surveys of crab, they're actually summertime ground fish surveys, and they catch crab and extrapolate the crab data from summer ground fish surveys, and yet our fisheries occur in the winter, and you know, in that long period of time between the survey and the actual fishery, we know the ocean changes of condition, we know that crab move, and I think that there's just a lot of long-term modeling habits that need to be reconsidered, because that has led to this lack of really coherent data.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.